And I was going to say that buildings don't have to be fancy to meet those requirements, because this building right here would meet all of those standards.
Liz, I have a question for you back before we get too far away from the industrial different zoning, the three zones are talking about making the one into. I had a person ask me a question, knowing this is coming forward, mm-hmm. starting the soon at the planning and zoning level into the assembly, wondering, he has an industrial lot he's been paying taxes on and has developed it, but now he's going to be restricted possibly if he ends up in the light industrial zone as to what he can do there. He thinks it's going to diminish the value of his land if he can't sell it to someone that wants to put a rock crusher in or something. So I guess, and I told him, you're going to have a number of months to talk about that at planning and zoning level. And
on the other side of it, it's also available now for residential development.
It isn't development, but it would be if this proposal goes through.
Right.
Right, so.
So I think a lot of it you'll see is there might be some taking, but there's also some giving. And, you know, how it shakes out after it goes through Planning Commission and the Assembly, it's, you know, it's still very fluid in terms of what people want to see ultimately. You know, that's kind of what we heard through the comprehensive plan process, was that there's a lot of concern about a lack of industrial land. So we're trying to carve out some so that we do have some of that available for this range of industrial uses. At the same time, we have a lot of issues within the Planning Commission where you have residential uses and industrial uses up against each other. And so we're trying to address that without having too much of an impact on either one, like too much of a negative impact. So it's certainly that balance, but, you know, as you said, it's going to go through 3-6 months of public process, and we'll see what happens at the end, you know, and what people feel like is the right balance there.
So this plan is presented to us, and it's going to be presented to the public in this form, is amendable.
Oh, yeah.
I figured it was. That's what I said. So just trying to.
And I would say that it's referred to as the proposed plan, because really the Planning Commission hasn't amended it really too much yet either. Mm-hmm. So they're still waiting. You know, they want to get the feedback, and then they'll be making those amendments before it ever even comes to the Assembly. And then the Assembly will have their shot at making whatever changes that they deem fit to. So.
Member Merle?
So with the industrial district, would that be that you, if you own a piece of industrial property, say out at Scow Bay, you can't build anything on there? You can't build a home on there?
Currently?
No. Oh. If this is to go through.
If it's light industrial, which I think is what Scow Bay is going to end up being, no, you would be able to.
Okay.
But you wouldn't necessarily be able to do something like put an asphalt plant, because light industrial is sort of light industrial where you kind of have residential and all these other uses. And so we're saying maybe things like rock crushers and processing plant that's going to run 24/7 isn't appropriate for you have this mix of, and you know, of residential inside of with this industrial. But yeah, you would be able to do a residential development.
As long as it was light industrial. Right.
Yeah.
Zone. Okay.
Let's see. Going on to other more controversial subjects. how does this affect land divisions? So in 2013, when the borough was formed, the assembly at the time designated the State Department of Natural Resources as the acting platting authority for outlying areas, until such time as the borough adopts platting regulations applicable to outside service area one. So the code would create a new kind of subdivision called a remote subdivision, which is intended to handle subdivision and land division outside of service area one. So it takes into account areas that, you know, aren't road accessible, or you wouldn't necessarily be asking someone to build a road. It takes into account where there isn't going to be a connection to municipal water and sewer and things like that. So it adds some flexibility into how the Planning Commission deals with these areas. Currently, the state approves all subdivision, land division outside of service area one. And I think some of you have been here when we've had to sign plats accepting dedications of right-of-ways and things, but we don't really have any say in how the subdivision is designed or anything. We just can either sign it or not sign it, right? And it's really the state who has all of that say. The one thing I would say, too, that the cost that the state charges for subdivisions is a whole lot more than what the borough charges. So either folks outside service area one will be saving money, or maybe we should increase our fees, because it's hundreds of dollars more to have that same thing done outside of, done by the state than we would charge in here. The public review process, so the when component, starting next week, the Planning Commission will be reviewing the proposed code in February and also in March. So there's 3 months to comment to the Planning Commission. And then following that, they'll make a recommendation to the Assembly. And then, of course, the Assembly would be looking at this adoption by ordinance. And that would be 3 meetings as well. So all the way through May, from now until May, people have an opportunity to provide input and comment. And if you want to do that, you can go to the borough website, and there's a section of the site that's called Petersburg Development Code Revision, and you can submit comments online. You can read drafts of the text. There's also those one-page summaries that I gave you on there that you can download and read. And there's also an email newsletter that goes out, and you can sign up to receive that as well, which is a good reminder for when the next Planning Commission meeting is, so that you can remember to go comment if you want to. And if I was going to make a recommendation for someone who's interested, but it's really overwhelming because it's, you know, quite a bit of code, and that's not always easy to read, is to look through those summary pages. I mean, I think those are, there's about 10 of them. Those are the highlights of what the changes are, and kind of the common areas. And if there's one that you're particularly concerned about, feel free to send an email and I can send you the code, or we can just talk about it, as opposed to just trying to slog through the entire code, which is, you know, hundreds of pages. And that's about it.
Okay. Any other questions of Liz? I'm sure we'll be talking about this more. So thank you for your ice-breaking presentation here. Next item on the agenda is the mayor's report. And there's not a whole lot there. I've got the paper version so I can read it. The Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from qualified borough residents to serve our community by filling 2 vacant seats on our Public Safety Advisory Board. Borough residents appointed to the following seats will serve until October 28th, 2018 municipal election. Letters of interest can be sent to the borough clerk at Box 329 or to dthompson at petersburgak.gov or by delivering them to the office on Main Street. And earlier in the meeting, we talked to Brad Gilman and Sebastian O'Kelly in Washington, D.C., and when we were talking about this trip 2 weeks ago, there was a cost thrown out of like $11,000 or something for 3 people. It's going to be $4,000 for the manager and I to go, and that's using air miles for our travel, so that saved quite a bit. And I already talked about some of the letters we've been getting back, and they will be addressed to the entire assembly for answering or giving ideas on how to approach the sea otter issue in Southeast. We received an email, the assembly members did, from Cindy Logadakis. She is our Southeast Conference representative to the board of directors, and she had a she asked for a direction to go on one issue. One of them is the mining issue in June, but I think that's already in the process, been moved forward. The other one is the roadless rule. Southeast Conference has supported the appeal of the roadless rule by the state in the Chugach and the Tongass National Forest. But former Mayor Logadakis asked for direction from the assembly, and I'm I'm glad she did. So we need to, my thought on this would be have a resolution at the next meeting. We could vote up or down that would say that the borough supports the repeal, the appeal to the federal government of the ROADUS rule. So there, with the ROADUS rule in place, it hinders a lot of development in our area, from mining to hydro sites to, you know, small logging operations or what have you, or the road to Cake, for instance, was hindered, or the power line. That was what drove the price up. So I'd like to see that on the next agenda, Mindy, if you would, and then we'll approve it. And that gives her time to get direction from us before she goes to Southeast Conference in February. What else is on here? Senator Stedman is coming to town tomorrow and will likely want to meet with the manager and the mayor, or maybe another assembly member. But if it's too late to advertise for a meeting with the whole assembly, and I don't know if he would be in favor of that or not. So later in the meeting, when we discuss our state capital projects list, that's something that we could go over with Senator Stedman and his chief of staff, Randy Ruero, who will be here with him. The manager sent out an email talking about attending the hospital board meeting on the 10th at 2 p.m. in the afternoon to discuss the CEO hiring process. And I was invited to that meeting, and I will attend as well. So that's about all I have for the mayor's report. And any questions? Member Mucci?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. I'm just trying to sort out the process. You know, I appreciate former Mayor Lagadakis being on the Southeast Conference. Is that a normal situation?
I asked the same question of of Robert Venables. He's, I don't know if he's the head of Southeast Conference, but he's been there forever. And I asked him what was standard for municipalities when someone is your representative and then they lose their seat from an election. And he said that's pretty much up. It goes back and forth. Like earlier when we were talking about travel, he saw that the borough was paying Cindy Lagadox's travel to Southeast Conference, and she still is our representative to the board of directors. So it just depends. It's a community-by-community decision. If you want to go there and make a decision on that, we can in the future. But that's the answer I got.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Kind of?
Yeah, it does, Mr. Mayor. I was just curious about any time-sensitive resolutions or work that has to go on at Southeast Conference, if everything still has to come back to us, and then we kick it back to Cindy, and
I was
just trying to see how it all works.
Right. I think the main, you know, in the past, for my own experience, being that we asked this question in the last meeting, the Conference of Mayors, or being up there as a representative to Alaska Municipal League, if there's an issue that, you know, it is more than just germane or whatever you want to call it, I won't vote on it until I get approval from the assembly. You know, so I would hope to see, and it looks like Cindy's doing the same thing by presenting this to us for the mining issue. I don't know where that'll go, but asking on our direction on this ROADUS rule, because it's a sensitive topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So any other questions? That brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And this week, it's just I wanted to remind folks about our planning meetings that we're having, that I'm hosting. Basically, we'll be hosting a series of open houses to allow community members to identify areas where the borough could reduce expenses or increase revenues. As we've seen state and federal resources decline, we understand the community will need time and have to kind of weigh in on how we're going to handle things here in the borough ourselves. Really inviting folks, if you have the time, to come by. I'm doing these on three separate meetings at three separate times. So first is tomorrow, January 3rd, from noon to 2. The second will be January 18th from 4 to 6 p.m. And the third, January 27th, from 11 to 1. That's and the last one is a Saturday. All of those events will be held here in the municipal, the assembly chambers. It's going to be very, very informal. There's not a planned presentation or anything like that. It's really basically folks can come in. I'll be here, maybe some of the other staff, but it's really about folks come in if they have ideas, and we'll capture those ideas, get them written down, and then eventually all of those ideas will come back to the assembly to take a look at and discuss. So the last thing is, if folks cannot attend the meeting, although I highly recommend that versus just a simple email, they can email ideas to us at petersburgplan@petersburgak.gov. And this will be out on the website, and this will also be available here with these handouts. So anyway, encouraging people to come.
All right, thank you. Any other questions of the manager? Okay, maybe we should take a five-minute break before we start on the new business, if that's okay.
That's a good idea.
Let's start the meeting, please. Okay, we're all back in attendance. Member Greger will be back shortly, Stanton Greger, and we're on unfinished business. There's nothing there today listed under that item. The first item under new business is Ordinance 18-03. This is an ordinance amending the official zoning map for Service Area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone Lot 10, Block 234, and there's a bunch of other numbers, a North Nordic Drive. It's going to be, the proposal is to rezone it from open space recreational or to a single family residential. And this was sent to us by planning and zoning. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Castro. Any discussion? And looking through this, Liz, maybe you could answer the question without me looking through the papers. Was this vetted by the planning and zoning, and they recommended this?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. That was Liz Cabrera. So any other discussion? Member Castro?
Yeah, see, Liz already talked about it a little bit during her last presentation she had, but it sounded like the parts, this proposed action is consistent with the comprehensive plan to encourage the supply of housing within the already developed parts of town and encourage infill on the vacant in-town parcels. And that's a prime real estate right there, so I'm sure we could probably garner some decent property tax if that were to be developed.
Okay. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2018-01 passes unanimously in its first reading. Next item on the agenda is the capital projects list, and I believe this was presented by the manager, and this is basically for the state, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay, that's one we're lacking in. So I would entertain a motion to approve this fiscal year 2019 capital projects list.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Strand to approve this capital projects list for 2019. Any discussion, additions? Member Mucci?
So, Mr. Mayor, so the number three capital project is hospital renovation for an estimated cost of $33 million, and so that is in correlation with the list that Marlene gave us this afternoon, right? Thank you.
In the past, when there was lots of money coming from the state, we'd actually spent many hours prioritizing these different lists and picking one, two, and three. So if we want to, and we should, pick which list, which item on this list would be our number one priority. Right now, if we went down the way they were listed, it would be Petersburg Schools District Service Preparation and Renovation Project for $1,600,000. Then the Scow Bay Hall Out and Washdown Pad. So I'm looking, I guess what I'm getting out of this list, Steve, is these are your top eight or nine, and then the rest of them that you have listed on the following pages by all the departments are things that will be submitted to CAPSIS as well.
Yeah.
State. Yeah.
To answer your question, all of these projects on both pieces of paper you have will be entered into CAPSIS unless it says no over on that far right-hand column.
Okay.
Okay. So for example, some projects were self-funding, you know, like several of the power and light. So we're not going to enter those into CAPSIS. It doesn't go. But so anything with a Y out there in that column is a CAPSIS project. We will, if you don't do anything, all of these will be entered in. The shorter list, which is roughly six items long, is the six priorities that the assembly last year said those are our priorities. There's no real requirement that that be six, five, 10, or not a priority at all. We just have done that for some time. And, you know, so in speaking, when you go to Juneau, you can say this is the priorities of Petersburg, but there's also other projects out there.
And that will be available to our senator and representatives in Juneau, because this will be sent to their offices. And
correct.
And they'd like to have it vetted by the assembly with public comment, so it's good to do this. Member Mucci?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make sure that we still feel that the school district food service preparation and renovation is our top priority and not the Scow Bay haul-out and washdown pad. Just as a discussion.
Okay. And that was the process in the past. Is there is no number here. It's just that it's on the top of the list. So I could see where you'd think it would be the...
Right.
It probably is the number one priority of the way. And I can't remember, are these in... Did you say earlier they're prioritized order from last year?
They were never put in. They were just on the list. So there wasn't really necessarily a number one priority. It was just saying, here's our top priorities.
Thank you.
Member Stanton Gregor, do you have a comment?
No, I was just going to clarify exactly what he did. So.
Okay. Yeah. And there's, I can put numbers next to them and call them one, two, three, whatever. That's entirely up to the assembly.
A lot of it depends on if there's funding for certain types of projects versus, you know, like the Harbor Matching Grant program. And Member Castro?
Yes. I've kind of seen some dialogue between Chris Cotta and other agencies about concerning the City Creek Dam renovation, and see that here we have no funding secured. So I was wondering if Mr. Hagerman might be able to help fill us in on the status of that project.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I do have some information on that. This, as Steve said, this is an old list, and we have actually budgeted money in this year's budget in the water department to fund the City Creek Dam renovation. This project being on this list, I mean, normally we take water and sewer projects and we go to DEC and through their grant and loan program. However, a dam does not fit their program. So the significance of being on this list is to look for a legislative grant, which is probably highly doubtful to receive. But the funding for this project is in the budget. It would be nice to recoup that money if possible through the legislature, but it's very doubtful.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? I know last meeting we had, we were talking about our federal list, and I noticed that our airport bypass road wasn't on the state list or the federal list, but I was hoping that we could add it to the federal list for if the president back there gets his infrastructure program pushed through. If there is any funding for small communities, maybe we could get that road, gets funding, who knows if we will, but I think it would be an important road to have brought up to usable standards for one, development of the property up there, and two, for access for fire and EMTs to Scow Bay area. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to the assembly? Can we put that on our federal overall wish list?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If through the mayor, if it works for the assembly, I can add that to the infrastructure item that Brad was referring to. I think he had three projects on there, Scow Bay, dredging. We could add this one to make the third, and he can include that in the delegation letter.
Okay. Makes sense to me. So. Mm-hmm. So as far as this list, the state capital project list, is this, if there's no other discussion, I'll have the clerk call the roll. How about we'll do it with a roll call vote?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay. If we'll this will be the list we present to our legislature, our legislators. And like I said earlier, Senator Stebbins will be coming through town, but he doesn't. Has he contacted you, Steve, on any? So who knows what his plan is. Okay. Next thing under new business is item 17-377, knotweed herbicide treatment. I'd entertain a motion to apply for this grant. I guess that would be the positive way to make the motion.
So moved.
There's a second. Okay, motion been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Wallhooter. Discussion. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My only concern about the grant is I'm going to vote in favor of it, but I just want to make sure that we're not, if it ends up falling on a city employee to be an applicator on this, that we're not taxing an individual that seems to be pretty busy in the summertime. And that's kind of my only concern about the grant, but I am definitely in favor of it.
Any other discussion? Member Castro?
Yeah, I feel I've seen it over in Cake and seen kind of the infestation, and I know how nasty it is. And I'd like to see the borough play a part in the extermination of this invasive, or at least abatement of it. I feel that, you know, where it didn't, we didn't appreciate the state doing their broadcast spraying, their concept of how they were going to treat it out the road. I feel that, Joni's suggestion of using the foliar spot spraying method, you know, as well as the training. I'm in line to be doing some training through the Forest Service, and it's a 40-hour course that you kind of do on your own time. And coursework you go do, and then you go up to the library, and then they proctor the test for you. So it's an official test that we wouldn't need to pay anybody in particular for. I understand Mr. Mucci's concerns, though, about, using already taxed city workers or borough workers to perform the applications, though. So.
Okay, any other? Member Stanton Greer?
Yeah, I'll be voting for this today, despite my reservations about this particular herbicide. It is, as Ms. Johnson said, is a real nasty one, and I was very against the broadcast spraying. I still wrestle with it, being we have such sensitive fish habitat, but the sheer limited amount of herbicide treatment that we'll be using compels me to vote for this.
Any other discussion? Member Strand.
I do have reservations, and we'll be supporting it because her plan sounds minimally invasive as an invasive plant control. But I still have reservations about Roundup. It's especially Roundup, whatever. This one has a special name. And just as an aside, in my girlhood, my dad pointed out to me that buttercups are not indigenous to the area, that they came in on a load of gravel, and there's never been invasive even attached to the name. Just
history. I'd read through this, but I'd like to know exactly what we're voting for. We're voting just to apply for the grant. We're not voting to commit any public employees' involvement in this, because they're going to hire with the grant money, if they get it, this group from Haines to apply it this year. Is that what we're...
That's what it sounded like, although I believe Joni at one point, and maybe Chandra and or Carl can jump in, was hoping to use Jesse, one of our employees, to get certified and kind of add to their spraying. So, Joni left. So I don't know exactly how much of that grant application includes some of our landscape folks' time.
Okay. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, that was one of my questions when Joni was here, is I wanted to make sure that the first person to do this was going to be not somebody from Petersburg, but somebody whose job it was to do the application and possibly train a city or a borough employee in the application process, so in case there was a need for him, that would be a possibility as well.
Okay. The way I wouldn't vote in favor of this if I didn't think it was going to be someone else applying it, and this grant application was just so it would come from a non-federal entity to hopefully get the money for this group to come from Haines, Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition, to come in and apply it, if that's the way I'm understanding that. Member Stanton, Greg?
Yeah, it's the point of clarification. Yes, that is what Ms. Johnson reported.
Right, right. So any other discussion?
Yeah, just
Member Castro.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm looking at her letter right here, and she says the staff treatment of knotweed on borough lands is estimated at 4 hours, and then the training, of course, is that 40-hour course that I was talking about. And they're looking at for 20 hours of borough staff time for the grant and contract administration. So should be relatively negligible compared to the effects it'll have, the benefits it'll have to the community without having this knotweed, you know, polluting our area.
Any other comments? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay, that request from Joni Johnson passes, and we have to back up a little bit here. It was pointed, brought to my attention by Member Morrell that we skipped over the special use permit. Not intentional by any means, so we'll back up and we will discuss that. So I will entertain a motion to approve the special use permit requested from John Murgis.
So move.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made by Member Walhutter, seconded by Member Morrell. Discussion. Member Strand?
I'm afraid I can't support issuing a special use permit because I worry about the precedent it sets. There's paperwork attached to this that describes the number of permits as opposed to leases that have been issued in the past. Anyway, I won't be able to support a special use permit here.
Any other discussion? Member Castro.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there were, 11-something special use permits, and they were typically within the right-of-way. And I realize it's an atypical decision to have any commercial use outside of right-of-ways on borough land, but I can't see it being very typical to have members of the public wanting to perform upgrades on borough land with their own money, you know, regardless of the intended use. So I'm in support of this special use permit because I'm also leery about the impact it'll have to recreational boaters going into Scow Bay and trying to use the ramp itself, but then not being able to, having it chained or cordoned off, so that because through a lease, I'm sure there'd be some sort of liability related to it if he was leasing that land and built something and made it out of code, and there could be something that you know, could go to litigation for, I feel. But is there any issue with leases? Because Mr. Murgis did bring up that there was a, in the lease, it says something about him using it exclusively. As
through the mayor?
Yes.
A couple of issues I just want to speak out about. Generally, on waterfront properties and tidelands, the borough, in past precedent, is we lease that property before. So that money is, you know, there's a lease payment associated with that, that then comes to the borough and helps take care of you know, offsetting the fact that it's being taken care of in the private sector. So, for example, Piston and Rudder leases property from us. Ace Electronics leases property from us. And that's Petro leases property. There is an interesting, if, in fact, the assembly chooses to use a special lease permit in this case, you have to ask the question, what's the incentive to Piston and Rudder or anyone else to continue leasing property from us versus just getting a special use permit? Mm-hmm. So there's some concern there. Our leases do come with insurance requirements and issues related to how that property will be handled while it's in the hands of the leasor. So you're correct, or John's correct, in that if he was to lease the property, we would require, you know, guaranteed insurance and other protections so that the property is left in good shape when the lease expires. So, again, that's kind of, there's a standard process we go through when leasing property that is a lot different than a special use permit, which is traditionally we've used for basically driveways. Remember, Liz, did I say that mostly right?
Mostly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So why not lease it so that the people who are already leasing tide lands or sea lands aren't competing with on the same playing field?
Through the mayor, are you asking the question, why would John not want to lease it?
Yes.
I can't speak for him. Okay. I don't believe he's requested a lease, but if he did, that would go through a standard process of approval, which eventually comes back to the assembly.
Any other discussion? Member Stanton Gregor?
Procedural question, Mr. Mayor. Would it be possible for me to ask that question of Mr. Murgis here in this meeting?
Sure.
If you're okay with that, Mr. Murgis, of why you'd like to apply for the special use permit instead of a lease, if you'd care to comment on it for us. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
If it was to remain as a public use facility, which is my desire, I would not be able to afford the lease requirements. And the liability insurance that I would have to take out on it for general public use would, I haven't explored that, but I don't think it is available or that it's even affordable. The cost of construction of the ramp is estimated at $20,000, which is out of my pocket, and that's stretching my budget quite a bit. And I don't know what the lease would be. I'm guessing probably in the $5,000 range per year. So that would be a disincentive, but not so much as the requirements that would be imposed on me for the lease. I don't know if that
answers the question. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, John. Member Walhooter?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hey, John, how does this exonerate the city with you putting it in as a public use ramp from liability?
It would, you have the same liability with the present ramp, which is public use.
Right. So what we're at, what you're asking is that you would like to put a ramp in that's going to best suit your needs plus make it available for the public to use at the same liability that we would currently have with the ramp that's already there.
That's correct. I think it would reduce your liability because it would make for safer operations.
Right. So I don't see an issue here myself because I don't think Lure is going to come to me and ask for, you know, okay, if he wants to, then maybe we'll set a precedent. Okay, you get 20 feet by 100 feet long off your, if you want to, you know, make it for public access. Because I don't think he's going to turn over any property. I'm not just picking on Mike, but I don't think anybody's going to turn over any of their property for public use. So if this sounds to me like a win-win, you're willing to put the money out to put the ramp in to make it safer so that more people can use it. Not only, see, now it won't be exclusively yours now, and we don't assume any more liability than we already have. So I'm going to be voting for this.
And it would encourage competition. Mm-hmm. It'd be wide open for somebody else to use.
Okay. Well, if there's no other questions of Mr. Murgis, then we'll deliberate amongst ourselves. Thank you. Do you have a question?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John, for your comments. Brandy.
Would this be something that I'm assuming that we would have to, after he, if it passes and he puts in a ramp, we'd have to go through and somebody would have to inspect it and make sure it's up to, I mean, how does that work?
I don't see that this proposed ramp construction has been vetted by any kind of an engineer. I don't know where Mr. Murgis got the $20,000 estimate or quote, but that was one of my concerns as well. But so I don't know if you have any other, and I don't know who can answer your question, whether it's how is it designed up to a standard for public use.
I don't believe it, through the mayor. I don't believe Mr. Murgis's plan includes engineering from that perspective. There's also a concern, and I defer to Liz on this one, but if a special use permit is issued, I don't know that we've ever done one that have expiration dates. So you have a whole big development plan that the assembly is getting into on Scow Bay that you'd now have a special use permit that's actually then going to exist there that we may have to change some of the plans to work around. Although, again, that I'm Liz, you need to jump in on that. But with a special use permit, can you write them with an expiration date so that it wouldn't get in the way of any future development at Scow Bay?
Generally, a special use permit runs with the land, so it doesn't matter who the owner is. The permit exists and continues to exist. The only comparable I can give you is with a conditional use permit, which also runs with the land, which the Planning Commission also issues. We've been advised by attorneys in the past that we can't terminate those because it's separate from the ownership. It actually is something that gets attached to the property. So it's sort of a protection for the property owner. For example, if you got a conditional use permit to build something, the borough can't come back later and say, we're going to terminate your conditional use permit after you've already made that investment. A similar thing with the special use permit. I would assume that once you've made that investment, in this case, usually a driveway, the borough doesn't come back and revoke your special use permit. The exception is there is language in special use permits where if the borough is going to develop it, you don't get to claim compensation, that because now we're going to put a road in and you've already put in some stuff, there's no payback for what you've done. But we haven't had a similar exact situation, so it's hard to say yay or nay there.
Okay, we have four people want to comment. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That is my concern, is a date for it. No, I don't want anything really to get in the way of the Scow Bay project. I don't know if there's a mechanism to have it a 10-year special use permit or a 15-year, but I certainly don't want to see something get in the way of developing that area. I appreciate what John wants to do and is doing, and I hope we get a chance to help him out. But I just want to make sure we don't get boxed in where we can't develop that property out there because we have a special use permit that is excluding us from working out there.
Correct. Okay, thank you. Member Walhooter?
I was just going to add, this is a good way to segue in on what Jeff's talking about. This is just going to be more fill because they're going to fill in that whole parking lot area there. So what little John's going to put in there is not going to hinder, the future development there. They're just going to be adding more rock on top of it when they go from there. So, again, I don't really see a big issue here right now over this because, things work so slowly in Petersburg. I bet you, 10 years from now, it'll be before we ever get out there. So, and in the meantime, John can haul his, 750 boats in that 10 years, safely and maybe even, create competition. So, that's my two cents.
Member Castro, you had a comment?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I can echo Member Strand's concern over setting a precedent for this as well. So that is something that I was hoping to be able to ask Liz about, just to find out about how it might affect our relationships with current lease-owning businesses.
Liz?
There's not any guidance in your code to say, yeah, you get a special use permit and you have to do a lease. So once you change the precedent, which is all we have to go on, then I'm not sure because there's nothing in the code. So you're basically opening that door into a broader interpretation of when you use a special use permit. So I think what the attorney, I think, is trying to say is you've always interpreted it this way very narrowly. If you change that, there isn't any parameters in your code. So I don't know what the next one would bring because now you've opened the door. So it's really more discussion with the attorney about, well, what does that do, and what exactly the next application and how it is and how it reads. If you're saying we're going to go with this one because it's a public use, so then how are you defining public use? Does that mean that one member of the public uses it a year, or is it because someone uses it more than the commercial use? again, you don't have any guidance in the code to sort of set those parameters for you. I hope that helps them.
Yeah. Any other comments? Member Walhuter?
See, I just want a little bit of clarification here. So this is borough land. And we're asking, or a member is asking if they can go ahead and put some fill on borough land so it'll be safer for their operation out there. How does that land all of a sudden becomes his in you know, in a sense of where, you know, some of these other leases, you know, that we leases that we have around town will feel as though they have that same opportunity that, because it would be like if we went out to put a ramp in, you know, at Murgis's, or if we went out and then somebody came in and wanted a special use permit to go across a piece of property that we're leasing, you know, Petromarine or somebody like that, you know. I mean, those people are leasing that land. This is borough land. So we got a guy that wants to throw $20,000 worth of fill out there, and this is a, I don't know, I'm confused here, you know, because it's not like, you know, it's not like we're taking it away from anybody else to use. You know, I mean, it's going to be public use, you know, and so I don't know. You know, I'm just, I'm still going to vote for it because I think it needs to be done out there.
Any other assembly members have comments? Member Mucci?
So if we grant the special use permit, does the borough have the authority to cancel it when it sees fit? And the second part of the question is, if Mr. Murgis is going to put fill in there to make a boat ramp, are the same environmental guidelines in place when you're dumping rock into that area in place, or do you just make the ramp?
From what I'm kind of concerned personally from reading the attorney's position on this and issuing a special use permit versus a lease, which we've done for almost all the other land in this kind of a situation. I think if we give them a special use permit, and just in my mind, I'm not an attorney, the borough still owns the land. So we allow somebody, and I think it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I mean, it would be a great idea to have a ramp closer to the bulkhead. We understand the dynamics of it. But if there's no engineering on it, and the borough says, yeah, go ahead and do it. And so they put the ramp in, and it's public use, and someone goes out there, and there's no bull rail, for instance. Someone drives off and rolls over, and worst-case scenario, maybe drowns or something horrible like that, which I'd hope would never happen. But I think the borough might be liable. So with this uncertainty here, I think it's a good idea, but I can't vote for this as a special use permit, but I would be definitely for it if it was a lease. I just think it's just too much. It's not clear enough in my mind that the borough is going to be covered if there's something happened, just from what I stated earlier. Member Murrell? All
right. Yeah. Yeah, I have to tend to agree. I think it would be a great idea. I think that, I mean, it is fill. It would be there. But I worry about the liability aspect of it. And, you know, I don't necessarily think things need to be engineered. I think that there's a lot of people that can do something, put in a ramp just as well as an engineer could tell you exactly how to do it. However, without there being somebody to pass it off and sign off on it, I don't know.
Okay, Member Castro, you had another comment?
Yeah, it's, you know, just like you two, I'm, it is a concern thinking about the liability, and but perhaps we might be able to put in some stipulations or something into, if we were to grant this, you know, something stating that we need a survey, not necessarily engineering diagrams as built and whatnot, because I've seen in his application some pretty thorough-looking diagrams. Seem like they have like some good dimensions on them. But if we were to impose some sort of a survey that could be done afterwards and assess the liability of the of this type of a project to the borough, then perhaps we could grant something in between. Are there, I guess, another question, I guess, on this note is, do we only have special use permits and leases? It's just black and white? There's nothing in between?
Liz,
I'm sorry.
As far as I know, there's nothing in between. Yeah, there's special use permits and there's leases.
Okay.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Is there a way, number one, we don't have a recommendation from the Planning Commission at this point. Is that correct?
Through the mayor. Right. The Planning Commission, their process is first they would have to accept this application before considering it. And they didn't want to accept it, spend Mr. Murgis's application fees and public notices and all of that, and then have it come to you and have you say, no, we're going to do this as a lease, and then Mr. Murgis would have to apply all over again. So rather than go through the process twice, they felt it was more prudent to get clarification from the assembly first, and once they do, then they can proceed one way or the other.
Member Mucci.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So can we send this back to planning and zoning and have them look into the option of a lease for this piece of property?
Yes, but Mr. Murgis would have to apply for a lease. I mean, so it's either apply for a special use permit or apply for a lease. So if the Planning Commission's decision is going to either be accept the permit application and move forward or not accept the application and tell Mr. Murgis that he should apply for a lease, I would think those are the two paths to take.
I didn't hear part of that, but I would think if this special use permit application was denied by the assembly, then Mr. Murgis would still have the option of going back and applying for a lease. So it's not like it's a done deal. I mean, so. Member Strand.
And that's the reason I support leasing it as opposed to, I don't think we should accept this request for a special use permit because it can go back to the planning and zoning, and a lease is more acceptable.
Okay, Member Walhood.
So what changes then, Liz or John, who can answer this one, if he does lease that land, does everything have to be engineered? And then who's on the hook? Well, like, of course, he has to get liability insurance and things like that. But then that ties that land up for a certain period of time. What if you got a 55-year lease or a 10-year lease or something, you know? I mean, so then you wouldn't be able to develop it if you did do something like that. So can anybody help me out on that?
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Gloria Ann or Liz can probably answer this. Mr. Murgis's current lease on the turnaround part down there, I believe when that lease was issued, it could be revoked at any time when future development was going to take place, like our Scow Bay project. But it might be totally different if it's a special use permit. And I think that's what our attorney is alluding to in her comments.
The way it is now, yeah, is his is Harbor Master and Mayor. He has the ability to get out of it at any time, and we also have the ability to renege and move forward with our project. And that's the beauty of a lease, is that you can put those 5 years, 10 years. Our lease with Petro is 55 years, and it's revisited every 5 years. But you can put a time frame on it.
So, Member Castro.
So if we were to not approve the special use permit and go with a lease instead, would there be an avenue for Mr. Murgis to look at where he might be able to apply for a rock reimbursement for the fill that he's already put in place in that area?
Sure, it's up to you to write it. So you bet.
through the mayor.
I think Member Walhooter.
My last question here. So does this ramp then have to be engineered then if he goes with the lease, or is it just going to be another $20,000 ramp with some liability attached to it?
Depends on how the lease is proposed, I would imagine, and how we want to accept it.
I mean, if you
through the manager,
just to specify, leases have to be approved by the assembly. There is an ordinance that talks about what the rate is. That, you know, without the assembly changing that, that can't be changed. So it's roughly, I think it's 10% of the assessed value of the property, and that's an annual payment. The term of the lease and all of the other language that's put in there becomes up to the assembly. So you want to, you know, a situation where you want to spell out that John could build this ramp, you can put that in there. If you want it to be approved by an engineer, you can put that in there. If you want him to carry a certain amount of liability insurance, that can be put in there. All of that is, again, as you heard, the beauty of a lease. they're designed to put in all of the different rules that the assembly may or may not want in there. And then the assembly has to approve that before it's put into place and added to our list of leases that we manage. Back to what the attorney's talking about is because our, and what Liz mentioned, because our ordinance, our statutes, our ordinances don't really get into this, special use permit, we've never used it for this before. So therefore, you have a problem in the sense of we don't really know what precedent you're setting. I think that's where the attorney's coming from. Clearly it's something we need to rewrite these ordinances at some point and give better guidance. But, so I don't know.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Brandy?
No.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
No.
Nancy?
No.
Jeff?
No.
Eric?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, the motion to issue the personal use permit, the special use permit, fails with a 6-1 vote, with Member Wallhuter voting in favor. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, communications. Are there any communications by anyone? Like we talked about earlier, there's been a few communications coming back with the discussion on the sea otter issue, so we'll keep that compiled. So any recognitions?
Sure.
Member Castro.
Yeah, after talking to Ms. Dixon, I found that Petersburg volunteers responded to 26 emergency calls during December, and 11 of which occurred between December 20th and the 31st. And I'd like to give a huge thank you to both the paid and unpaid first responders who are on duty or on call during the holiday season, when most of us are out yule bucking or just generally in celebratory mode. So thank you very much.
Is there any other recognitions by staff or by Member Stanton Greger?
I would just like to recognize the manager for your borough planning meetings and strongly encourage all members of the public to come talk with Steve. It's informal. It's a great opportunity to give all of us feedback on how we can therefore employ Steve to save money, spend money, invest money, more or less be a part of the process of Petersburg's future. So please come and attend.
And just a little add-on to Member Stanton Greger's comment about those meetings. I think it's very important for people to come and participate to get your input. And there are varying days of the week and varying hours of the day. The first one's from noon to 2 on the 3rd, 18th from 4 to 6 p.m., and then the next one's on a Saturday from 11 to 1. So they're accessible. Any other recognitions? Okay, next item on Assembly discussion items is possible land trade, and Assembly Member Mucci would like to the Assembly to discuss the possibility of a trade of land between the borough and Petrel Marine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Over the last couple of months, I've been kind of wandering around town, spending some time with department heads and seeing what they have going on, seeing their facilities, what they have. And I spent some time with somebody from the Harbor Department and went around and saw all the containers they have, storing all their stuff on the containers. The doors are about ready to fall off or cave in, and they're moist and damp, and they have a Ben has like 100 square foot behind the Harbor Master Shack to work on stuff. Well, in another conversation I had with Bob down at Petro, he wondered if there was any consensus from the Assembly about possibly trading the lease that Petro Southeast Island Fuel is on and the warehouse behind it with the possible, the other part of the trade would be the old Union Oil warehouse and the facility behind there. And talking to Gloria Ann, I asked if that was something that they were still interested in, and if they were, I was going to bring it up to the Assembly to see if there was some willingness to enter into that negotiation, and if that was the case, maybe we could see if Steve could enter into those negotiations with the city and Petro. And I think Gloria Ann here might have some input on that as well.
You know, this is, and I don't know how many times that this has been discussed, I know at least once, this land swap between Petro and Petersburg.
Yep.
But it's a good, you know, it'd be great for the harbor to get that, but what are the costs associated with it? And I'm sure that would be something we'd have to look at, the value of the land, the condition of the building, the old Union Oil site, and I guess the site where the tank farm was has been deemed clean. But I guess there's a lot of things to look at. And one thing I noticed, I didn't see it on the Harbor Department project on their list, unless it's the... I missed it. But so anyway, Glo, you had some comments on this? I mean, I know you've been in favor of it in the past.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, we tried for this. We came up with this idea, I think, in 2012 and tried for it. And then we tried again in 15. And yes, the need is definitely still there. I think we've vetted some of the issues that other assemblies have thought of, and it seems like it would be a win-win for both of us. It comes under, I think, on our improvement, our capital project list, under the maintenance shop upgrade as well as the land acquisition. So it's in there in a couple different places. Yeah, if you have some specific questions, you know, I can list off all the pros, you know, and the negatives, you know, if we're talking about things like, you know, values, they'd probably be within $100,000 of each other. But, you know, so you'd give up a little a property tax and then, you know, gain a little on the other side. So if there's specific questions, I can...
Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think there's a map up here of the pieces in question in case... I don't know how to get this thing up here. The screen up. Yeah.
That would be a couple of my concerns, is the lease loss, the property tax loss. And when Member Mucci was first talking about this, did you say there was also where the gas station is? It's not just the bus, not just the fuel tanker barn anymore?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
It's the gas station and the warehouse behind the gas station.
Because was the gas station always in the swap before, or is this a new?
Nope, this is the same. So it's those two pieces of property. Of course, we don't own the gas station itself. It's just the land. And then behind, the warehouse and the land for the seven lots, where that would be the trade for the seven lots where Alaska Island Fuel used to be, or where Union used to be.
Kind of curious, what are those lots, other than where the building is and where the old tank farm was, what are those zoned?
What are they zoned?
Zoned. Is it, I mean, I'm just wondering if this acquisition took place or this trade took place, are these six containers going to show up in front of the residents' homes?
For this. Oh, they're all industrial.
Okay, for now.
What are they going to change?
Are they going to change?
I think they're going to stay industrial.
Yeah.
It's up to you. No, not up to me.
I mean, it's up to you guys.
So, all right, Member Mucci.
Mr. Mayor, you know, it would be nice to see those containers go away. I mean, there might be a way to incorporate a storage area in that and make it pleasing.
Oh, are you worried about moving container vans to that area? Is that what the concern is?
That was a question that was brought up by a member of the public.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, yeah, we wouldn't have to do that, but it would be handy to
perhaps on... You know, I mean, you're trading the old tanks for perhaps a few broken down AML that I'm having to replace, probably upcoming.
But we could make those pretty. I mean, we could turn it into, like a lot of people have, turned it into a couple of vans that support a roof, you know, so that we could put some of our wood supplies and things like that on that pad back there. We could roast maul it. We could. I mean, it could be.
Put hedges. Any other discussion or questions by other assembly members? I would. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We also have the Harbor Board Chairman here. I don't know if he had anything to say about it or.
Well, this has been something that we've at the Harbor Board level has been talking about for quite a few years, since 2006 when the borough or city at the time. Acquired the harbors, we realized that we're going to have materials and machinery to repair and we're doing it out of a less than 100 square foot shop right now, and it just isn't very conducive to doing, especially in the winter. And storage, we figured if we could get rid of those containers, we'd gain parking spaces downtown. It's just a, like Glorianne said, it's a win-win, and it's been something we've been trying to get accomplished here for quite a few years. It's just now is the time, and I think we could. I think the harbor's got the funding to make it happen. Good for everybody.
Well, it's good the discussion has came back up. Do you have a comment, Steve?
Just, and I want to apologize to the assembly. With vacations and holidays, you know, I don't have the numbers here to give you. From my perspective, everything that Mike and Glo have said is 100% right on target. I'm just worried about the money. I mean, to be honest, and without seeing that in a spreadsheet, because there's moving parts here. What is the What does the harbor gain or lose? What does the general fund gain or lose? And they're two different numbers, and that's my concern. And I don't have those numbers for you.
Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I don't. There's no apology needed. I just wanted to find out if there was a consensus at the assembly level so that we could direct Steve to kind of look in, compile those numbers, and bring those numbers back to us so that if they did make sense to us, we could continue down that path and then maybe start the discussion with the people at Petro to see if how it would all work out. But that was only my intention. I wasn't looking for numbers today. I was just looking to get the discussion started to see if there was consensus here.
Sounds good. Member Stanton Greger.
Yeah, I guess my two cents, for whatever they're worth, is I would definitely be in favor of giving Steve direction to begin that process, simply put.
You know, I agree with that 100%. It's you can't make a decision with the information we have, but I'm glad it's been brought up and discussed again because I know it had been discussed in the past. And through the process, I'm sure we'll get public input on, you know, what is going to show up on the old tank farm site. Okay, where are we? So I guess that's consensus from the assembly to have Steve get numbers and then look into it. Okay. Senior citizen exemption application fee. Assembly member Mucci requested discussion on this subject.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you all know, we have a work session next Monday. I can't remember what time it was, 6 o'clock or so. But I was wondering if we would do a couple PSAs regarding the work session on Monday. I had intended to talk about it today, but I needed to sit down with the finance director and kind of go over a few details of it. And one of the parts of this application fee is I'm struggling with is trying to sort out how you determine the senior citizens of the community that are actually in need of it. And I haven't got there yet. So I was hoping that we can discuss it a little bit next Monday.
Member Burrell?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that it would be really easy if you just used the state to figure out. I mean, if you qualify for state or for other assistance, you just use, if you can prove that, it would be make it a lot easier on everybody within the municipality.
All right. Member Stanton Greger?
I think there's one challenge with that because I've thought of that myself. It seems easy. You've got a Medicaid card, you can qualify. The flip side of that, though, is some of the elderly who are also poverty-ish level, they don't use that, just have their Medicare card for, you know, and Social Security. They haven't gone through that process. I don't know exactly how many people would fall through that crack, but I'm not sure if that, that'd be accomplishing the goal. Because the goal is to protect those in need, well, that's got to be our goal. It's got to be our priority. You know, those most financially vulnerable need to be taken care of. So I'm also stuck on how to exactly grab onto all of those people, because that remains in the spirit of that exemption. And I'm open to suggestions of how to get exactly there. I don't want three people falling through that crack for leaving an income exemption for that.
Member Strand?
I don't think having a Medicare or Social Security card is an indication that you need the tax exemption. It hasn't to do more with age.
No, my point was that some of those I've heard from this from the public, they would definitely qualify for Medicaid, but just haven't done that. They are living off, you know, Social Security. Point being is don't want to see anybody fall through the cracks. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not, you know, at this time, I'm not entertaining we discuss it and hash it out right here and right now. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, these are the kind of the discussions I wanted to maybe have next Monday when we sit down and kind of on an informal basis with some public participation, just try and address what the application fee is about and how we take care of everybody who needs it.
Yeah. I had a note made here. I thought our work session was going to be to talk about the marine passenger fee. Are they in?
That's what my note says as well.
Conjunction with that. We'll see how this work session takes place, but it might be the fact where we're back around where we started and we want to possibly form an ad hoc committee or something to, you know, to narrow it down what we, you know, how to approach it, you know, people from the public instead of us, you know, discussing it every time. But anyway, that's my input. So is that, in your recollection, Member Mucci, that we were going to talk about the senior exemption application fee on Monday, or was it?
It was probably the marine passenger fee, but this one's been gathering a lot of traction, and I am trying to keep the ball moving. So, yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, we could certainly do, Mr. Mayor, we could certainly do an ad hoc committee to do the senior citizen exemption and the application fee, but, you know, I just wasn't ready to discuss it today because there are some I didn't have answers to all the questions. So that's why it got moved from an action item to a discussion item.
Would it be prudent or would it be worth our while if we're going to have this work session on one, just to have it on both to see what kind of input we get from the community? We got plenty of time mm-hmm. as far as days ahead of time to advertise for
sure.
Something like that. And then just, mm-hmm. and that was going to be at 6 p.m., wasn't it?
Can we start a little earlier if we're going to discuss both these items, which can be pretty lengthy?
I'll be here at 6, but we can start earlier. I can maybe be here earlier, but I work till 5. I've been lazy over the holidays. Sorry. Haven't got many billable hours in. So, Member Mucci?
Yeah, 5 would, you know, 5 would work for me any earlier. I have to take time off work, but we could, right. We could, 5, I could live with.
And it's... It's a work session. It's nothing formal.
Sure.
You know, so it's just, you know, we could start it at 5. Can we advertise it in such a fashion to discuss both the senior citizen exemption application and marine passenger fee?
Sure.
Does that work for everybody? Member Stanton-Greger?
I work during that time, so I'll be arriving at some point late.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
There you go.
Member Walter.
So instead of leaving it open-ended, why don't we put a deadline on, you know, till 7? You know, 5 to 7, 2 hours, because then you get people to, you know, come up with their thoughts and make them, you know, kind of focus in on them, you know. And if we need to go more, we make more meetings, you know. But instead of beleaguering this thing, you know, to like till 10 o'clock at night, because we'll all have our opinions, you know. So 5 to 7.
We could do that, but I don't want to end up like a, for lack of a better term, a dog chasing its tail. Keep going. We need to. They're good. They're very important discussions to have. But how are we going to get public consensus on what we're going to do? If we want to put a time,
I'd like to put a time on it so people just don't think that they can stay here until 9 o'clock at night, you know, talking about it. Because I mean, there'll be more time to discuss this, because this is not the first time this is brought up. This is, you know, an ongoing.
We have one member that works in the evening, Member Stanton-Greger.
My 2 cents on setting a time limit for meeting is I'm against that. I don't like super long meetings as much as anybody else, but if a good facilitator of a meeting will keep things going, and if people are going to get off topic, the facilitator or chair of the meeting will bring them back to it. And if you have a meeting that's going longer than 2 hours and it's productive, good for everybody. It's good for the community. My 2 cents.
I think I agree with Member Stanton-Greger. We should start at 5 and it goes as long as people have interest. Right. Is that consensus? I mean, do we need to vote? Does that sound all right? Okay, so can we advertise it as such?
Do that.
Jeff, did you still want to talk about the marine passenger fee? It's
on the discussion. Mr. Mayor, thanks. Nope, I think we'll talk about it on Monday.
Okay, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right.